today on Real Radio.
Jesus has died on the cross for your sins. I didn't. Don't come and confess to me. I can't do anything about it. I can pray to God for you, but only God will look and listen to your heart. 1 John 1:9 says that we are to confess to Jesus Christ and Him alone, because He's the one that has paid the price to set us free.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called A Witnessing Church, Part 5, continues a series now called The Book of Acts. The Book of Acts is the story of the first Christian church. It records the acts of the apostles of Jesus who were filled with the Holy Spirit and sent into ministry, not only in Jerusalem, but in Judea, Samaria, and throughout the known world. In Part 1 through Part 4 of A Witnessing Church, we learned that it was God's divine power that gave the Apostle Stephen the boldness to speak the truth about the gospel message. Now in Part 5 from Acts chapter 7, verses 44 through 50, Stephen continues to build his case that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. And Stephen does this by reminding the high priest council that it's through David's descendants that the tabernacle was built, and through David's lineage that the Messiah would come. Today on day 2 of this lesson, Pastor Jack reminds us that God created us to do good works and how He convicts us with the truth of His Word. God has also forgiven us as though we've never sinned. And now continuing his lesson called A Witnessing Church, Part 5, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Please don't wind up your life like the children of Israel did in the Old Testament, having taken all of the blessings that God had given and buried them in the ground in the end. And misread him and said, Lord, I know that you are an austere man and you reap even where places you've never planted. And so I've buried what you've given me in the ground. Oh, may we never be like that. May we go with what little bit we have, plant it, let it grow, plant again, let it grow until it's 30, 60, 100-fold. In our backyard, I don't know why, I'm just glad. There are these robins, big robins, just like up north or back east. Beautiful things. I don't know where they came from. I never saw them in California before. And the mother runs around the backyard, and she fills her mouth up with worms. And she's so funny. She'll run, and she'll kind of pound the ground, and she puts her ear down to the grass, and then drives in and pulls out a worm. You would think a bird like that would have ears this big. Pulls it out, and then the little baby guys, the little, the baby robins, they come, and they open their mouth, and what does she do? She walks right up to them, and she goes, bleh, and regurgitates those worms right into the mouths of those, and it's right by the bay window as we look out in the yard eating breakfast. It's great. Bleh. And you say, well, you know, what's going on? She's giving them life. She's giving them what she has taken in and has processed herself, and she gives it back, and knowing God, it's probably enhanced. It's probably got vitamins in it after she's had it. That's the way God works. And they're strengthened by what she regurgitates, responding to what God has given us. If we would now regurgitate what you know, you might say, I can't share Christ. I only know John 3:16. Do you know there's how many? 10 million people in the Inland Empire who don't know John 3:16? That if you would regurgitate that truth, it is the word of God that washes them supernaturally and gives them life. A woman last service came up to me and she goes, honey, we went away for a few days. She was an elderly lady that said, honey, to me. And she said, we were having these problems and stuff, and I read my Bible, went through 4 chapters of the New Testament, and all my problems had gone away. I could stand up and I could face my day, and everything was great. Isn't that true? Where do you get that? The power of the Word of God. Are we responding to what God has given? They, in verse 45, received, in turn, also brought with Joshua. Don't you love it? Some of your Bibles say Jesus, doesn't it? That's because Stephen is speaking Greek, and Jesus is the Greek word for Jesus, and Joshua is the Hebrew word for Jesus. A little play on words. They probably didn't like it when Stephen said, and Jesus, whom they had killed, into the land possessed by the Gentiles, whom God drove out before the face of our fathers until the days of David, who found favor before God and asked to find a dwelling for the God of Jacob. Now we come to the second point. Not only are we responding to what God has given, but are we rejoicing in what God has given? David was so blessed, he wanted to build God a house. And I kind of laugh at this. And the cynical part of me says, I mean, I don't want to judge David's heart, but it's kind of funny. God moved in a portable tabernacle. David had his house built. It was a massive custom home, and it was built out of cedar. Can you imagine what it smelled like? And it was decked out. He's the king. I mean, far out. Let him have it. But David looks out the window and looks across town, and there's a little tent with the ark in there. And David goes, man, I feel like major guilty. Now, that's not in the Bible. I just made that part up. I'm thinking he must feel pretty guilty. Because he says, I'm going to build God a house. Maybe it was sweet. Maybe not. Don't know. But God basically says, I don't need a house. I don't live in a house. God lives with people, lots of people, all the time. Moves when they move. David says, I'm going to build you a house. God says, don't build me a house. Your hands are too bloody. You killed so many people. I don't want to be, look, just don't have Solomon. I think God saw David's heart that he was bent on doing it. And God says, well, have Solomon build it. So Solomon built it. I love it. They get all done. Solomon's dedicating the temple in 1 Kings. And Solomon steps back and it's the glory of the world. Solomon steps back and basically goes, who? What can contain God? Have we thought for a moment that he'll live in this house? Basically, he said, what a joke. He says, for the heavens of heavens cannot contain him. How can a house contain him? You see, the Jews at this time that were standing or seated in front of Stephen, they believed that God, listen, this is tragic. Not only did God live in the temple, he was obligated to do so. They believed in their traditionalism that God had to be connected to the temple, period. In fact, in the very word, I don't want to jump too far ahead, but if you look in verse 48, the word dwell in your Bible, the word in the Greek means to dwell permanently or boxed in. To be localized is the meaning of the word. Isn't that amazing? God's not like that. We need to be rejoicing in who he is and what he's done. You don't get saved going to the temple. Listen, we said this Wednesday night. You need to be coming out Wednesday night to get this heavy, what Jesus has done for you. Jesus has died on the cross for your sins. I didn't. Don't come and confess to me. I can't do anything about it. I can pray to God for you, but only God will look and listen to your heart. Don't go to the priest. Can't do anything about it. The Bible says so. 1 John 1:9 says that we are to confess to Jesus Christ and him alone because he's the one that has paid the price to set us free. Don't look unto men. They'll just let you down. Look to him who does not dwell in the temple. And Stephen is kind of turning the knife on this. He's kind of saying, hey, man. David found grace, that's what the word favor means there, grace before God and asked to find a dwelling place for the God of Jacob. Look at this, verse 47, but Solomon built him a house. We need to rejoice in what God has done, not what we do for him. Get this, jot this down. I hope it blesses you. I got through this last service, I almost got drunk reading these scriptures. You want to get high? Write these down. Rejoice in what he's done. Number one, he's created us. Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That's Ephesians 2:10. We need to rejoice because he's convicted us. Acts 2:37. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. They were convicted. They didn't like what they were hearing, but they knew that what they were hearing was truth. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? They threw their arms up and they got saved. We need to rejoice because God has forgiven us. Ephesians 4:32. By the way, if we go through this and you're still depressed, then you didn't write them down or you don't believe this. Ephesians 4:32, he's forgiven us. Be kind and compassionate one to another, forgiving one another, just as Christ in God has forgiven you. You are forgiven, Christian. Are you guilty this morning? Don't show your hand. You feeling guilty? It's unnecessary. Christian, you've been forgiven. Non-Christian, you feel guilty? Good. Because we are to catch the fish, and it's God who cleans the fish. If you're feeling guilty, that's the Holy Spirit saying, you can get away from that guilt. It can be washed away forever just by accepting him. And you need to do that. He has saved us, Ephesians 2:8 says so, for by grace, God's unearned favor, he has saved us through faith and not of ourselves. It's a gift. Isn't that awesome? We need to rejoice in these things because he has accepted us. Ephesians 1:6, he's accepted us. To the praise of the glory of his grace by which he has made us acceptable in the beloved. Jesus stands there. God looks at Jesus and you're hidden in him. And God says, you know what? I think Diane's cool. I think Chuck's cool. I think Karen's cool. I think Bob's cool. Because you're in Christ. We're accepted in him. He's delivered us. We can be rejoicing because he's delivered us. In Colossians 1:13, it says, he has delivered us, has, past tense, from all the powers of darkness. He's talking about demonic activity that you may not believe in. Again, you need to go visit people who are dying, and that'll set your eyes straight. God says, when that time comes, you've been set free from all that by his deliverance. He's justified us. Romans 3:24 says that we are now justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. We have been justified just like we've never sinned, made put into right standing with God. And then here's the final one. And I love this one. Everybody awake for this one? Wake up for the final point on this. He has glorified us. Isn't that tough? How do you figure? He has glorified us? Doesn't that sound a little arrogant? Do you realize that every one of you who are Christians this morning can stand up and say, I'm glorified. Man, the world will haul you away in a Lulu wagon, you know. But God's opinion of you is you're glorified. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? That's what Stephen's point is. Get away from buildings. Get away from stained glass and steeples and robes and all that stuff. He's telling them it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter at all. Verse 48. Final point, resting in what God has given us. Resting. Are you resting in it? And we'll wrap it up with this. I love this. However, Stephen says to them, the Most High does not or is not localized to a temple, boys, made with hands. And then he cites scripture, as the prophet says, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. What house will you build for me, says the Lord, or what is the place of my rest? Has my hand not made all these things? What an amazing thought that we could give God something. Maybe in the offering, as worship was continuing this morning, you threw in a buck. Did your little religious thing. Listen, if your heart wasn't into it, see us after the service and you take your dollar back. Because your heart's supposed to be connected to that offering out of love. And that's the only way we can give God anything. You want to build him a house? Good luck. The moment you come into this place, do you realize, with all due respect, this place is totally dead until you show up? You ever seen those time high-speed cameras where it shows Montana, the big sky country, and the storms blow in and they speed it up so you can see the storms form and lightning and thunder and go by and then it's night and then it's sun. It all happens like in a matter of moments. I'd love to see that here in the spirit. This place, 5 o'clock in the morning on Sunday, it is dead and dark. Little light comes on, another little light, all the lights come on. People come up here, they're practicing, getting things tuned up, getting things going. A couple of people come in, first service, then second service, then third service. And then it's dark again. You know why? Because the temple of God leaves this place in a matter of moments. You're going to get in your car. And you need to be rejoicing in what God has done. You need to be responding to what God has done. You need to be resting in what he's done. And we're so weird. Oh boy, the message ministered to me. Oh, what God has done for me. Oh, that's great. And you get out to your car and something's happened. And out goes the joy. You get over to have breakfast. I had reservations. Well, sorry, we lost your name. Oh, great. We just came from church. Go get in the car. Let's go. Out goes the joy. Gone. Remember what he's done. Rest in it. Like this, rest in it. I love the beach. God knows I do. I sit down, I set up my chair, and a pelican flies by and unloads on me like you can't believe. True story. Hit me here, got me here. I said, honey, if you don't mind, I'm going to get up and go in the water now. It's true. Oh, man, so humbling. It's expensive to bring these messages to you, you know? Then we're with some friends, had a wonderful dinner at the end of the pier at Ruby's up there. Beautiful, moonlit night, warm, beautiful. Got down, walking down the pier, going home. Some guy jerks his pole. And I'm minding my business, you know, just kind of, we're talking and having a great time. And I got hit in the back of the neck with this mackerel. I mean, just... and smell, and that thing's on the pier bouncing up and down, and I thought, you know, this is great. I could see it now in the Orange County Register. Pastor hit by holy mackerel, you know. And, you know, it's, how did I get on this? Why did I get on this? Resting in what God is doing. We lose our joy so quickly. We need to remember what he's done for us. He's done so much. He loves you so much. And you go, yeah, I've heard about that. Do you realize it's going to take forever for him to show you? That's good. We need to remember this. Stephen is basically telling these guys, and it causes them to kill him, that God was in no hurry to move into a permanent temple. No hurry at all. God doesn't have any some elongated escrow to go through. We bought our home. We had 45-day escrow. 121 days later, we move into the house. Renting. We had to rent our house before we bought our house. Well, God doesn't do that stuff. Oh, you build me a house? That's nice. He lives in the hearts of his people. We need to rest in that. When you go today, God goes with you. We need to rejoice. But you see, they believe they had a corner market on that. And what Stephen is doing through the course of his message, and next week we'll complete this chapter and be done with Stephen, is that he was telling them that God met the patriarchs in the wilderness in the pagan lands. Abraham, he met him outside. Moses, met him outside. Isaac, outside. All of them outside. That's why David cries out in Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God. I'm glad he didn't say the cathedral or the chapel. And may God help us that we never get sectarian like those priests were in those days. Well, where do you go to church, Stephen? Calvary Chapel. Well, that doesn't have the name that's proper. In fact, if you're not named the name we have, you're an antichrist church. Isn't that great? Now you got to have a certain name. Doesn't matter how you live, it's a certain name of the church. That's not in the Bible. There's nothing wrong with denominations as long as we who are in the denominations do not get denominationalized and say, well, we can only play with the Baptist. You want to play? I'm a Methodist. I can't play with you. Well, I'm a Lutheran and we can't play with any of you guys. Well, I'm Calvary Chapel and, you know, on all you guys. You can't do that. It can't be that way. That's what they were doing back then. Stephen, you don't worship the temple? Hypocrite, weirdo, radical. Don't you know God lives in the temple? Jerusalem housed the temple. Interesting? It's the focal point of the world. Jeremiah said it would be in the last days. Isn't it interesting that all of the nations west of Jerusalem write and read from left to right, and east of Jerusalem, they write and read from right to left? Isn't it weird? But is it something to get puffed up about? God doesn't dwell in the temple. He dwells in temples who are not made with hands. Stephen's right. He dwells in your heart if you're a believer this morning. Let's pray together. Father, we would ask you, Lord God, that you would remind us, Jesus, that you dwell in us, Lord. We're so sorry. We forget so often. And Father, we would ask, God, that you would move upon us in such an awesome way that we, Lord God, would act like it, live like it, move like it, be portable like you, Lord, taking your word everywhere. God, fill us with the boldness that Stephen had. And Father, teach us how to be a martyr like him, dead to ourselves and alive unto God. In Jesus' name, Lord, we ask these things. Amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called A Witnessing Church, Part 5. Thanks for listening, and God wants all those who follow Christ to not only be a witness to his saving grace, but to find rest and peace in the fact that God has it all under control. A Witnessing Church, Part 5. It's part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Acts, a series that brings to light the ministry of the first century church through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Hey, Pastor Jack, I understand you're going to Israel, and for the first time in almost 20 years, you want to open the trip up to the Real Radio audience. Can you tell us about that?
Well, it is going to be our annual trip to Israel, and it all begins on March 24th to April 4th, 2019. I'm telling you, Israel in the springtime, there's nothing like it.
So what are the dates?
March 24th to April 4th in the spring of 2019.
So what will we be seeing?
We're going to be going, first of all, to amazing sites. Of course, imagine this, actually going to the Temple Mount area of Jerusalem, the focal point of news today. We're going to be going to the Galilee. We're going to have Bible studies in key locations. We're going to be going to spots where Jesus literally walked. It's going to be an amazing trip.
Awesome. Can't wait. I hear that you actually go to those locations. We get a chance to open our Bibles and really get into the scripture regarding that particular place.
Listen, your mind is going to be blown and so will your heart, because we're going to stand in the spot with Bible open and we're going to be receiving Bible studies. We're going to be going through the Word together. My good friend Amir Serfate is going to be joining me from Behold Israel, and we're going to have a trip of a lifetime. Listen, this will be our 17th trip to Israel, and I think you're going to benefit from the experience that we'll be bringing to you.
So tell me where I can get more information, would you?
Yeah, to do that, you would just go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And you can click on the banner right there labeled Israel 2019.
So how do I go about signing up?
This is what's going to be fun. To sign up, you would go to our website. And the way we're going to do it, because we have a national interest, is that on August 4th, so mark your calendar, on August 4th, it's a Saturday, at 12 noon Pacific time, the website will open up for signups. It will be first come, first serve nationwide. It's going to be August 4th, 12 noon Pacific time, and there you can sign up online for our 2019 March 24th to April 4th tour of Israel. You will not want to miss it. Get more information by going to reallifewithjackhibbs.org.
This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.